Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hi, I'm Mark Striegel, host and producer of this show since 2005. On this episode, we're going to talk some rock, some metal, and
anything else we feel like.
We're also going to jam some tunes, have a drink, and share some honest opinions. Thanks for listening to the Talking Metal Podcast. Let's get things started. Here's an old classic that sounds just as good today as it did when we were kids. Yo, welcome to another episode. We're still doing this. We're still talking metal with you. And as always, man, metal, a very diverse term for me. I know some people disagree with that and they think metal's just a specific thing. But man, when you look at like all the different bands that have played on Ozfest through the years, or all the, you know, different styles of heavy music, you know, there's times I wish this wasn't called talking metal, because it's really about heavy music. That's what we're doing here. But in 2005, we decided to call it talking metal, and we're staying with it. So, without question, the song you just heard, See You in Hell by Grim Reaper, definitely heavy metal, right? There's no question about that. But we're going to hit some other styles of heavy rock, loud rock on the podcast today. So I hope you stick with me with open ears and an open mind. Yeah, we got Steve from Grim Reaper on the podcast, so stay tuned for that. We'll be hitting that later in the episode. A lot of great music, a lot of great discussion on the episode today, like this song, Prison Sex by Tool.
Hey!
One of my favorite Tool songs. Love that. Love that. Such great memories of seeing that band so many times during my life, and they've always been there for me musically. Love Tool. Love that they have a new album out. We're going to talk about that in a bit. But right now, I tell you, why don't we hit an interview? This is a New York City band, my neck of the woods. I'm in Jersey. I live in North Jersey, Maplewood, which is, my wife always hates when I say it's right by Newark Airport. It is. It's like, you know, we're like 10, 15 minutes from Newark Airport. But everyone thinks of Newark and they don't really think of our, it's not our reality. We actually live in a nice neighborhood with trees and grass and kids and stuff. So, Maplewood, New Jersey is where I'm at. And these guys are from New York. These guys are called Damn Your Eyes. And when I say these guys, I'm going to be talking with Artie Alexander from the band Damn Your Eyes. There's some a metal band. A little hardcore mixed in there. I mean, let me know what you think. Anyways, this is my interview with Artie from Damn Your Eyes here on Talking Metal, followed by some music by Damn Your Eyes. Hey, it's Mark Striegel from Talking Metal, and on the line we have Artie from the band Damn Your Eyes. Artie, how are you today?
Good. How you doing, Mark?
I'm great. I was turned on to your music by the folks over at Adrenaline, and the stuff just sounds great. You have, correct me if I'm wrong, one debut album out that just came out, correct?
Yes, it came out August 2nd, called Kill the Outside.
Yeah, great stuff. I'm really digging it. It's up on all the streaming services and on Amazon. You can purchase it. So let's talk just a little bit about the history of the band. I don't know much about you guys. Can you give me the, you know, 2-minute bio, if you will, where you're from and how long you've been doing it? Just a little bit of the history.
Sure. Odie McLaughlin, the bass player, and I are from a town called Valley Stream, New York, on Long Island. Kenny Vincent, the singer, is originally from the Washington State area, Seattle area. And Rick grew up in Brooklyn, I believe. He's in Queens now. And 2015, I decided I wanted to get back into playing some music. And I started writing, and I had a bunch of old riffs that I kind of had hoarded, you know, from the past. Some of them me and Odie had worked on together, and Odie's the bass player in a band called Blackwater Rising as well. So when I started putting all this together, it was just me and another drummer working on the songs. And after a couple of years, I went out on tour with another touring act for a while. I did Europe, Canada, and America for like 2 years. But in between, I was always working on the Damn Your Eyes stuff. And in 2018, we finally were able to put everybody together that I felt would work for the band. And that's pretty much how it all came together.
Cool. So when you mentioned in 2015, I think you said you were going to start to get back into it. Had you taken a break from music, or did I not understand you correctly?
Yes. I took a break for a while. I don't even know how many years, but I got married and had kids and life goes on and you don't have time to do all the stuff. And, the marriage went sour and, you know, I had to straighten out my life a little bit.
Right.
And, by the time I was all straightened out, it was 2015 and I was ready and ready to go, you know?
So
almost like a fire was lit underneath my feet, you know?
Right. I hear you. And I mean, not to get too personal, but you mentioned a marriage that didn't work out. Was that part of the maybe influence of the stuff you were writing? How much did that play into things?
Some of it. Not, you know, I don't really focus on one particular thing in life and write about that all the time, you know. Treeline was kind of touches on that and how, you know, my behavior and what I did to other people and stuff, how it comes back to get you sometimes, you know. And plus I had a raging alcohol problem, and I was just a mess. I was a mess of a person. I just didn't know who I was, what I wanted to be, or what was going on. I had to clean myself up, and I got custody of my son. So my son's living with me, and once I straightened everything out, it was just time for me to to get back into it. It was like an uncontrollable urge to play again.
Very cool. And your guitar just, I mean, such a thick, heavy sound. What kind of gear are you using? Amps, guitars? What do you prefer to use?
On this album, I actually played the Washburn 333, the snow camo guitar that I have that's in the Ascension video. I use that for everything on this album, double tracked. And I didn't switch up the guitars too much. I also play two other Deans. I got those after the album was made. And those sound incredible as well. The amp that I played through, the head that I played through was a TV-6505.
Okay.
Plus, that's the one that I used for the album. I don't use that live. I use a Fender 5150 Eddie Van Halen head, a stealth head. So, because that's got more of a push to it, and live it gives it a little more oomph. When you're recording, you don't want to get too much guitar on there, you know? And, you know, just Marshall cab or Orange cab when we recorded. And it was really a simple process. We didn't go too crazy about it.
Cool. And as far as live gigs going up, what's coming up for the band?
August 27th, we play with Crowbar and Lopan in Queens, in Elmhurst, Queens. And that's it for right now. We are working on other gigs, and you know, we just got a new drummer to replace Rick Tiano. He left unexpectedly, like 2 weeks before the album came out.
Oh, okay.
So he was replaced pretty quickly. We got this guy Danny Reynolds, who's absolutely incredible. He's like a pure metal drummer. He's on point. He's like a Buddy Rich meets Chris Adler. You know,
wow.
He's awesome. Yeah.
What's his name again?
Danny Reynolds.
Cool. And is he a New York guy?
Yeah, he's a New York guy. He actually works in the union, the same union I'm in, the Carpenters Union, the city. And, you know, I came across him on a job, and we were talking music, and he showed me some drum videos. And then, I don't know, about 2 weeks later, Rick decided to leave, and I asked him if he wanted to audition. And the funny thing is he was, you know, he's kind of a fan of the band. When I first introduced myself, he said, "Are you Artie from Damn Your Eyes?" And I was like, "What?" I thought the guys put him up to something, you know? And it turns out he's been listening to our EP that we had out the year before quite a bit, and he really liked our music. So when I heard him play, and when Rick left, I asked him, "You want to audition?" And he came down and just killed it. Just, you know, it was unbelievable. We were like, oh, this is what these songs are supposed to sound like, you know? So, I mean, we love the album, and Rick did a great job on the album. Just very two different styles.
Right on. And as far as the album itself goes, are you working with a label, or is this completely independent?
This is completely independent. We're doing everything ourselves. We have a really good team of people that help us out and work with us. You know, Adrenaline being one of them. Munzee Ricci from Skateboard and Marketing. He's been helping out a lot. He's a local guy, but he's worked with everybody. He does all the radio.
Great guy. Big
stuff. Yeah. He's like our uncle, you know, in a way. He's been guiding us through stuff. He's, you know, don't worry about this. Take care of this. And that's pretty much what we're doing. We're just waiting to see how people react to music. So far, it's been really good. And if something right comes along as far as a label that we feel will represent us the right way and put us on the right path, because we want to tour. We want to get out and tour. And, you know, it helps to have a label to do that. You could do it on your own, of course, but we're seeing how the reaction is, and we keep writing. So we're looking to get into the studio again in 2020 and do another album.
Cool. Did you grow up in the New York area?
I did. I grew up in Valley Stream, New York.
Very cool.
It's like 5 blocks from Queens. You know?
Oh, I gotcha. Cool. So what were some of your favorite musical memories growing up? And now I'm not talking as a necessarily a guitar player, more as a fan of music. What are any great concerts you remember? Any really life-changing moments musically that you could speak of?
My father and mom, they used to take in a lot of kids that, you know, had issues in their own homes, and they used to come live with us. And this girl had come, and she was the same age as my oldest sister. Her name is Danielle. We ended up pretty much adopting her, you know. She's still my sister to this day. She came in and she brought in Led Zeppelin, and I never heard anything like it before in my life. And I remember putting on Zeppelin IV and just laying there with headphones on and just being amazed at what was going on. This was
right
on. Total new discovery for me. So that changed a lot of it. And then my cousin came a few years later from Northern Michigan. He came for the summer to hang out with us, and he brought Iron Maiden and Dio. And that's the same year like Appetite for Destruction came out from Guns N' Roses. It was just a crazy summer for music. And I remember listening to like Number of the Beast by Iron Maiden and just being like, this is what I want to do, you know? And I still didn't figure out what I wanted to do, if I wanted to play drums, bass, guitar. And I kind of wanted to be a drummer at first, but my parents would never allow a drum set in the house. And my dad played guitar, and my brother-in-law played guitar, and all my sisters played guitar. So I kind of grew up in a musical family, so I just picked it up naturally, and that's how it all happened.
Great stuff. And, you know, I always have this theory about New York City that metal, and I want to get your take on it. You can disagree with me or agree or expand upon it, but metal and hard rock, to me, always seemed so much more, I would say, thriving and appreciated is maybe the word, outside of Manhattan, whether it's Queens, Long Island, you know, Jersey. I always felt like the people there had a much better respect and love of heavy metal and hard rock than, say, the East Village scene. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, what's your take on that?
You're absolutely right. And that's, well, I, you know what? I agree with you. You're absolutely right. But I agree with you. Brooklyn, Queens, I mean, at one time, Brooklyn was pumping, you know, Type O Negative, Biohazard was coming out of Brooklyn.
Right.
You know, Queens had a ton of bands that came out of there. It always seemed that way as well to me. There wasn't, you know, when the big CBGBs was around, they did have metal shows. And once in a while, you could catch a band in the city. But most of them were national acts that came through, like the Roseland or Hammerstein.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just, those are touring, major touring acts. As far as the local scene went, I always thought that Brooklyn and Queens had it too. And Long Island had a decent, when I was growing up, it had a pretty cool metal scene. Like, you know, the Crumbstuckers were out of Long Island, which they became Propane after the Crumbstuckers,
right,
pretty much.
Right.
You know, I do agree with that statement.
Very good. Well, Ari, it's great talking with you, man. And I'm a North Jersey guy, so I'm in the area. So I definitely hope to catch you live soon. The 27th.
Yeah, we hope to get out there. We've been talking to a couple of bands out in Jersey, and we're trying to put together some shows where they could come out and play with us here on the island, and we could go out to Jersey and hope to develop a nice little relationship where we could go out and do shows and make things happen for us.
Yeah, that'd be great. Have you played Dingbats? We should get you over to Dingbats.
I have played Dingbats in another band when I toured with the other guy, but I have not played with Sammy Rise, and we're looking to get over there. It's just a matter of getting, you know, knowing who to get in touch with and putting that together.
Right on, right on. All right, Artie, well, please keep in touch, and we're going to be featuring your music here on the Talking Metal podcast, and we'll let everybody know where they can purchase it and stream it, and I'm really excited for what's down the road for you guys. Really showing a lot.
Thank you so much, Mark. I appreciate you, talking to us about this. It means a lot, though.
It is today. Get up, get dressed, keep my chin up my chest. Put the world in the eye, get out of my way. Quit taking names. Not a personal lie, we'll try and feed me the lie. That it all comes down to what they say. No way.
Damn Your Eyes here on Talking Metal. That was Through It All. Thanks to Artie for joining me. And do you guys remember the band Cold? Maybe considered more alternative than you know, metal. Obviously, they're not metal. They're rock. They do have some heavy moments, though, and some great aggression. I dug them. I dug them, and I'm glad they're back. They're doing some stuff now, which we're going to hear all about, including this song, which we're going to get into. It's called Without You. It's brand new music by the band Cold. And then we'll hear from Scooter Ward from Cold. And on the line we have calling in vocalist Scooter Ward. Scooter, how are you, man?
I'm good. How are you, man?
I'm good, and I'm psyched. You got the new album by Cold coming out in just a couple weeks on September 13th, The Things We Can't Stop. And yeah, man, I'm psyched you guys are back. It's been a little break for you guys, right?
Yeah, it's been a while, man. I took some time off to be with my family, and my sister had gotten sick again, so I wanted to be down in Florida with her.
Okay.
She got better after
Good.
A few years, and Napalm had hit us up, and they were trying to diversify their label by adding some different kind of bands. I think they got Biscuit and Pumpkins and a few other people, and we joined with them, and it's exciting to have a new record and to be back out on tour soon.
Absolutely, and the tour is starting just around the corner on August 29th. How are rehearsals going?
It's going good. It's good. It's kind of funny. I decided to bring everybody up to the mountains. A couple of the guys, Nick Coyle and Johnny Nova, were from Pennsylvania, and most of the equipment was here. So we decided to start rehearsing from here before tours up in Nick lives in Berwick, but we're up in the mountains of Benton right now. And I thought it would be nice to be on top of a mountain and kind of be secluded from everyone. And it's Bigfoot country, by the way.
Okay.
So we're hoping that happens. Yeah. And we were up in the mountains, and it was a great idea so everybody could kind of bond before the tour starts. But once we got up here, little things have happened. Water went out on the house. Things have gone crazy. The electric outlets. It was a little insane. So we were kind of up here. We had to get everything sorted, but everything's good now. And it's kind of far away from everything. So, you know, got to drive down an hour to get a pack of cigarettes.
Right. I hear you.
Yeah.
Cool.
But it's all right. It's nice. It's pretty up here.
Good. Good. And the set list, like, what do you think? I'm sure we'll get a lot of classics, but some new stuff too.
Yeah, we're going to do maybe four or five songs off the new record. But yeah, man, we're going back from first record to now. You know, I think it's important. A lot of the fans are coming. There's a lot of nostalgia, you know, and a few people haven't seen us. We're getting that too. Like in there, they've just not, you know, their lives weren't when we played shows, they've never seen the show. So it's going to be nice to be back there. And we just decided to, you know, we're going to give them everything. I think the set is like an almost 2-hour set. So it should be pretty cool.
Very cool. I hope you include some of the new songs. Like I was saying, I love Without You. I mean, that's just a real driving.
Yeah.
I love the groove that's going on between the bass and drums and that. It's just real. It really sucks you in. That's a great song.
Yeah, it's kind of got that old Year of the Spider sound to it. We did it. I don't know if we wrote it during like the Super Fiction days when we were doing that record.
Okay.
It like kind of happened then, but it was just the verse and the chorus. And then with the new record, I wanted the record to have sounds from every record that we've done before. So there's a couple songs from each album with that kind of vibe. And Without You was one of them. It's basically, it sounds like a Year of the Spider kind of track.
Absolutely. And again, that is off the new record, which is The Things We Can't Stop by Cold, coming out on September 13th, the tour is about to kick off. Another song off the album that you guys did a music video for, which I found lyrically and visually with the music video quite emotionally, moving, was the song Shine, or is the song Shine, I should say. Can you talk a little bit about the message behind that? The pretty heavy message going on there, in my opinion.
You know, the message with that was kind of, the way the song was formed was kind of odd. I had the music in the chorus, the I want to see you shine, I want to see you go for the one. I just, you know, with Cold songs in the past, there's a lot of dark things in the verses, and then at the end of the bridge, it picks you up a little bit and kind of gets your way out of it. That's how kind of how my life is, you know. I go through things and I write a song to help me with it. So with Shine, I couldn't come up with the content of the song in the verses for a long time. I was like, I know what the chorus is, and I feel that melody and I hear those lyrics. I go, but I don't know what to write this song about. And then both my kids are now teenagers. They were switching schools, going to high school. And they both went through kind of that. Not really.
Right.
I mean, not really bullying, but just feeling alone and afraid. And it took them a long time to, get friends and stuff like that. So they went through it for a little bit. And that brought me back to when I was a kid, when I was in my, until I was about 11 years old, I was bullied at the bus stop every day and things like that. And it just kind of happened, and it all flooded. It was like a floodgate opened up.
Right.
And I was driving through the mountains of California. And that's what the song is for. You know, it's about the tragic thing of bullying and being just feeling like you're left out. And then, but, you know, just one person, you can shine. And you know, the funny thing about that song is when we put it out, I don't think we've ever had a reaction from fans and non-fans. Like we were getting direct messages talking about how much that was helping them maybe it's the tone of the country right now, you know, with everything going on, everybody mad at each other. Sometimes people just need to hear something that feels good. You know, I had a couple of people write that, hey man, that's a great song. You know, I like it. It's uplifting. It's more, it sounds a little poppy. You need to listen to the lyrics.
Right.
Because
right.
It's a dark song.
Yeah.
There's definitely light in it, but it's definitely a heavy thing. So that's why we put the lyric video out, you know. Like, let's put that out so people understand what the song's about, and with the girl sitting there. I just wanted it to be, you know, I wanted them to focus on that. And I got messages from fathers and mothers and talking about how they were Cold fans. They put their kids were going through bullying, and they listened to the song with them, and it was helping them. And then other people were taking it from like drug addiction and stuff like that. So it was really awesome. The response we got back from that song. I don't know if we've ever had a reaction like that.
Wow.
It was nice.
Very cool. And I saw you guys jump on stage with Breaking Benjamin just recently, actually. Very, very cool. And, was just wondering how you know those guys. It sounds like they are fans of Cold.
Well, yeah. I was actually talking to Ben, you know, and stuff. It was funny. Nick used to, our guitarist, play with Ben a long time ago in a band because they grew up around here.
Oh, wow.
So they're friends, and, you know, Cold and Breaking Benjamin first started out. We used to tour together. So me and Ben had been friends. Nick and I played in a band together. So when we found out they were playing, like, 40 minutes away the other night. We just hit a like, come to the show tomorrow, man. And I was, you know, what's up? And so he was like, oh, shit, you guys are close. He goes, dude, not only come to the show, but why don't you guys just jump up on the stage and play Just Got Wicked? And at first I was like, oh, no. You know, normally it was kind of like when bands do that, normally you see them get up and do a song with another one of the band's songs.
Right,
kind of
right.
Get up and sing with them. So it was really sweet of Ben to ask us to come up and actually bring the whole band and ask us to do Just Got Wicked. Their drummer actually ended up the song for us. It was his birthday, so there was a kind of a party vibe going that night. And he had gone through the track two times with us before we played it on stage in front of 15,000 people.
Right, wow. But, yeah, I was going to ask, did you rehearse it with them beforehand?
Yeah, no, we went over it like twice at soundcheck that afternoon, and then we got up and we had a good time with it, you know. So, but it was really sweet of him to ask us to come up and do that, man. We had a great time. And it was good to connect with him again. So, you know, we all got back together.
Very cool. And wanted to go back to the song Stupid Girl from 2003. And I've read conflicting information on Rivers Cuomo and his involvement with that song online. And I was wondering if you could just clarify what he actually did. He was a songwriter, but is he on the recording with you guys too?
You know, if you listen closely, some of the harmonies, there are during the Stupid Girl parts, the Woe parts and the bridge, stuff like that. He's definitely, that's his voice.
Right.
On there. You know, what happened, giant Weezer fan throughout my, you know, ever since I first saw him on MTV back in the day. I used to have the guitar strap everywhere with my SG. And I just loved that. My guitar sound that Weezer had, like that one came in. I've never heard that so crisp, and it sounded 20 tools or something with it. So I was trying to emulate that, and I can never find that sound. Yeah, we had a few parties in LA during Year of the Spider, and we'd have a bunch of rock bands come over and stuff, and Rivers was connected with the label, so he came over one night, kind of started talking. I was telling him that I had this song. The chord structure sounded a Weezer riff. Of course, when I played it for him, he goes, yeah, I don't know, man, maybe Weezer on acid. So that was kind of funny, but he dug the vibe of it, you know. And the crazy thing about this, I can't come up with any melody for this track. Like, I just can't do it. I go, you know, you think you could help us with this? I don't think he really collaborated a lot back then with other artists. He does now a lot, but yeah, he decided to do it. So he kind of started sending me tracks, and then we got together, and it just kind of happened. We didn't know it was going to be on the actual album. We were kind of just doing it. It was right at the end of Year of the Spider, and I didn't know if it would make it in time or not. But yeah, when he had created all the lyrics for the verses, and he did his own chorus. But I wanted to have a little part in that and make it a little darker, of course. So I came up with the going away, what's wrong with my life today part. But he did all right. The other lyrics and the melody for it and everything. And I just kind of, you know, was honored. So I did the parts as he directed. And yeah, when the label heard it, they lost their shit. So
yeah, great tune.
And it worked out. It did pretty well.
Cool, man. Well, I know you guys are getting ready for the tour. Again, it starts August 29th, and you guys are the headliners, right?
Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. And it's great to have you guys back, and best of luck with the tour and the new album. Again, it's called The Things We Can't Stop, and it is out on September 13th. Scooter,
awesome,
great talking with you, man.
Great talking with you, too. Hope to see you out.
Absolutely.
All right, brother.
Wanna bug ya, wanna squeeze ya, stupid girl. Wanna touch ya, wanna take ya, wanna shot ya, stupid girl. Let's go.
Stupid Girl by Cold. Thanks to Scooter for talking to me. And yeah, when he was talking about the mountains and stuff, I have no idea. I guess he's talking California, right? I have no idea what they're what he was talking about there. Anyways, this is Quest of Love. This goes out to my friend Steven Saylor. I hope everything's going okay, Steven. You know, we're thinking of you and your wife, and yeah, keep us posted. But yeah, let's hit this right now. This is called Quest of Love for one of my patrons, Steven Saylor, by Alexandra Zerner. And it features, let's see, there's some, it features Angel Wolf Black on this song. So let's check it out, courtesy of Steven Saylor. Thank you. Alexander Zerner with Quest of Love right here on Talking Metal. Great stuff. And yeah, man, I really encourage all you guys to join us on Patreon, because you can start requesting songs, you can start helping plan interviews, you get a free Talking Metal t-shirt. Well, it's not free. I mean, it's part of your, comes with your pledge. So check us out on Patreon, all right? And support us there. We need the support, definitely. And if you're with us on Patreon, stay with us on Patreon. I'm getting some Talking Metal stickers done, so we'll hopefully get those out to the people who are entitled to those. Yeah, man, great stuff on Patreon. Love the discussion that goes on there. Plus, you get a bonus podcast every week. And Tool, man, Tool has some new music out. Brand new record. I'm so psyched. 13 years, man. Wow, it's been a long time. And it is a masterpiece. It's an epic masterpiece. And it's not just me saying that. The reviews are coming in, and they are amazing. Fear Inoculum by Tool. They just announced they're playing on my birthday in New York City, so I will definitely be at that show. But man, the album is blowing me away. I've been listening to it all day. I'm recording this actually on the day it came out, August 30th, and wow, it's 85 minutes long, and for the first time, we also have the band's entire catalog available for streaming and downloading, which is just great if you love all their classic stuff like I do. The physical packaging for Fear Inoculum is extremely limited edition and includes a 36-page booklet, immersive video experience, and a downloaded card to access more material. I've also been going back, you know, on the streaming services. I do Amazon Music, but it's on Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube Music. You can listen to all the old Tool albums. I was just listening to Undertow, Love Undertow, Sober, Prison Sex, so much great stuff from Tool through the years, and an evolution of the sound. It's nice to listen to the albums in order, starting with the EP and going, you know, all the way up to the newest album, Fear Inoculum, and seeing that there is an evolution in the sound, which is awesome and always potent. Tool, so great, so great. Available on all the digital musical services. I was just listening to 10,000 Days yesterday to get ready for the Fear Inoculum record, which came out today, the day I'm recording this. Of course, you're getting this a few days after the fact. Yeah, guys, so check out all the Tool music right now on all your favorite platforms, Spotify, Apple Music, iTunes, Amazon Music, and more. Their entire catalog is up and available for you to stream, finally, after so many years. One of the last holdouts, right, for streaming music. I mean, it was years ago at this point that the Beatles and AC/DC and stuff got their music on the streaming services. I know Def Leppard was a holdout for a while, but they're up there. Somebody told me Garth Brooks still is not on the streaming platforms, so that's interesting. I don't know if that's true or not, but there you go. What I do know is true is that Tool's entire catalog available for streaming and downloading now, so support Tool. And wow, again, the new album, an absolute epic masterpiece. Cool. So without further ado, let's get into my interview with Steve from Grim Reaper. Hey, it's Mark Striegel of Talking Metal, and calling in for the first time ever on the podcast, we have Steve Grimmett. How are you, Steve?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. I'm excited, man. Cool. A new album is on the way. I know the release date had been pushed back a few times, but it sounds like we're finally going to get the new Grim Reaper record at the gates in October, right?
Yes, it's October the 11th it comes out, yes.
Cool. And like I mentioned, there was some delay, right? And was there a reason that the album got pushed back a couple times?
Yeah, we didn't get it together in time, really. It was our fault, really. Nothing serious. But
right.
That's why it's been put back.
Cool. Well, I heard the title track. There was a clip up online of you guys playing it live. And wow, explosive stuff. Really sounds great. And the album in general, the musical direction, is it pretty much what we'd expect from you guys? Are you going somewhere different this time around?
It's pretty much what you can expect, but it is different slightly. We sort of branched away from the typical Grim Reaper setup, really, you know, with clashing chords and stuff like that. So we've taken a slight detour. It's slightly heavier, if anything.
Okay, cool.
But it is cool. I'm very pleased with it.
Excellent. And just for people who might not know, can you run down your current lineup of the band?
Yeah, it's the current lineup is obviously myself. Then you've got Ian Nash on guitar, Julian Hill on bass, and Mark Pullin on drums.
Cool. And man, your voice too. Again, I was mentioning this live clip I saw of the title track at the gates. Your voice just sounds so great. I mean, it's still so strong, and not to single anybody out, but there's certain artists I see when they get to be in their late 50s, early 60s, they're just not they're just not there anymore. But you seem to be 100% with your voice. Is this something that's just natural? Is it something you work at? Do you have to practice? Like, how is your voice still so strong?
I couldn't tell you.
Okay.
It's a gift, let's say that, for a start off. And I don't know really how it's stayed as good as it has, if not better than it ever was, to be perfectly honest with you. I don't know. I kind of like to experiment. I mean, it's not that you'd notice, but, you know, experimenting in different ways of trying stuff. But no, I have no clue, because really and truly, people warm up before they start singing and all that sort of thing. But I don't, you know, I don't
really
have to.
Wow.
I mean, I might do as I get older, you know, but I wouldn't have thought so. So, I'm enjoying it while it lasts.
Yeah, well, good for you, because, again, it sounds great. And I know you're touring right now up in Canada. Montreal last night, was it?
It was Montreal last night, yeah, and we're on our way to Toronto as we speak.
Okay, cool. I know Canada, I get up there at least once a year and catch some music. The metal scene is strong up there. Do you agree?
Yes, I do. Absolutely. I mean, we had a full house it last night, and absolutely fantastic. You know, what more can you say for a Wednesday night? People are out on what we call a school night, you know, and they're going for it. You know, it's really cool.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And you guys you're headlining this tour?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, we've got a band that are doing a tour with us called Trip Six, and they're awesome band too. So it's quite a package, actually.
And is there plans to come back around and do another tour after the album is released?
Yes, it will be obviously next year, but yes, definitely.
Good, good. And, you know, man, it's been 35 years since the release of See You in Hell here in America. I know it came out, I think, little bit earlier in Europe. But, man, I was blown away to hear that it's that much time has passed. And that album is just such a classic heavy metal soundtrack. I mean, so good. Looking back 35 years ago, 36 years ago, what do you remember about the production of that record and the, you know, getting it together, songwriting, recording it? Any memories you could share with us?
Well, yeah, I mean, it was like pretty much a typical of a band. You know, you get together to rehearse, and then you'd write another song or maybe two at that time. You rehearse, and so it's pretty typically written, but it was really like old school, really, and that's how we do things these days. But Yeah, it was pretty typical, you know, say rehearsal right, and then like all of a sudden we have the opportunity to do it on record, you know. It was awesome.
And for touring for that album, you did some opening spots for some pretty major bands, right?
Yeah. Yes, we did, yeah. I'm just trying to think. Oh, it's Uriah Heep was one of them. Who else? We nearly got Whitesnake, actually. I know we very closely got to that one, but it never happened. But yeah, quite a few, or a few, I should say.
Right on. And your health, obviously you've had some issues. We all know about your leg, and I just wanted to check in, see how you're feeling. How is it? Are you still learning to walk? Are you, where are we with your health and your leg?
Yeah, I mean, health is pretty good. And yeah, obviously I did lose my leg. I lost that to an infection. The walking is, I'm still learning, you know. I mean, if you were ex-army or ex-forces and you lost your leg, then the treatment you would receive would be 24/7 until you could walk without any aids and walk
right.
Very well, and they deserve every bit of that. With me, it was a lot different, you know. It was 6 months of rehab, learning to walk. And then they get so far, and then you're on your own. You know, they just say, "We've done all we can. Now go and learn to walk." Still learning to walk. Still learning. You know, different obstacles. You know, but, I mean, last night, you know, the stage was quite high. I fell over getting on stage and had to crawl across to the drums so that you get something to lift yourself up with. So yeah, it's little things like that, really. But I will overcome.
Absolutely. And it's so great to see you out there doing it. And we are completely excited for the new album, At the Gates. Steve, it's been an honor. Thank you for checking in with us.
No problem. Thank you very much for having me.
Temptation by Grim Reaper here on Talking Metal. What a diverse episode. I'm going to Slipknot today, and I, you know, it's like four bands on Knotfest, and I really want to see Behemoth, who I believe is playing first, but it's like 5:30. And then, you know, and then you're there until like 11 o'clock. It's midnight by, I don't know. I just paying the babysitter, leaving the kids with the babysitter. I'm afraid I'm going to miss Behemoth again, because last time we saw Behemoth on some tour, was that with Slayer or something? We missed them then too. But it's tough to devote a whole frickin' 7 hours to a concert, man. I mean, not to mention when the beers are $12 each, right? But at least. Anyways, hopefully we'll see some of Behemoth. We will see. Yeah, Knotfest. So, let's hit some Slipknot. But before we do that, let's hit a band that my young neighbor across the street, Joshua, he turned me on to these guys. And I really dig what they're doing. This song is called Set Me Free. It's a younger band. And I love anytime there is, you guys know, I love anytime there is a band like under the age of 30 out there playing great rock and roll and heavy metal music. And this band Infinity is doing just that. They are friends with my friend Joshua, who lives across the street from me. So it's an honor to give these guys some exposure. And again, this song is called Set Me Free by the band Infinity.
Try so hard to do what's best.
band Infinity here on Talking Metal. Don't know much about these guys. Maybe I'll tweet out some of their social media and stuff, because honestly, I don't know much about them at all. Except I think maybe they're from Philly. I'm not sure where they're from. Maybe they're from Jersey. I really don't know. I think Joshua went and saw them play in Philly. Don't know. But anyways, like what I'm hearing. Guys, please keep in touch. Let us know where we can get in touch with you guys. All right? Cool. And to take us out, a little Slipknot here on Talking Metal. Some classic Slipknot. Looking forward to seeing these guys tonight. I'm not like a crazy Slipknot fan. I like them, but I'm definitely more of a casual fan. But can you believe I've never seen them in concert? So I figured I definitely need to see this. And they are playing my favorite venue here in New Jersey tonight, PNC Art Center in Homedale, New Jersey. No interviews, no nothing. So it's just a casual night, which is the way I like it. And love Gojira, too. They're also on the bill. And, of course, Behemoth. Volbeat, I know some of you guys love them. I'm so on them. I mean, they're nothing against them, but I don't know. They don't. I'm definitely into Gojira and Behemoth more than Volbeat, believe it or not. But anyways, this is Slipknot to take us out. And thank you for the support. Share this episode on social media. I appreciate it. All right, later.
Super dread man with a name of drug head. Like a deadbeat winner, I wanna be a sinner. And not a life buy for the industry killer. I'm killing this man that you don't understand. I'm a suicide body and I'm guaranteed a fucking snap. It's suicidic, it's pornoholic. Breakdowns, obscenities, it's all I wanna be. If you're 5'5", then I'm 6'6". If you're 5'5", I'm 6'6". If you're 5'5", I'm 6'6". What's it like to be a heretic? Everybody's so infatuated. Everybody's so completely sure of where we are. Everybody down from me, from miles away. From face to face, I haven't got a thing to say. I bleed for this and I bleed for you. Sure, you look at my face like I'm somebody new. Joy, nobody wants anything I've got. Which is fine because I'm made of everything I'm not. If you're 5'5", then I'm 6'6".
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.